can't hear you.
Good morning.
Thank you. It is great to be here this morning. If you noticed in your little handout I gave you, you know, we hear a lot of things going on over in the Middle East. And I know there may be some here that's traveled to Israel, and some of us are just kind of looking at it on a map or hearing the news. But what I thought would be interesting to share this morning before we get started, on the front side of it, you see one that says Israel, and that's a map of Israel showing the surrounding countries around it. So on this map here, it looks like it's a pretty good sized country. But when you turn it over and look at it, if you look at the Mediterranean Sea and right below Lebanon, you'll see a little old bitty strip of land called Israel. And look at how small Israel is compared to all the size of all the other countries around it. Everybody with me on that? It is hard to imagine. That was the promised land. That's the land that God gave his chosen people. And yet, through all the trials and everything going on, can you imagine that little country having to defend itself against all those other big countries surrounding it? I mean, it's hard to fathom. I've never been over to the Middle East. Yeah, so I got to looking at it, and you know, when I heard about, and I'd already always been kind of interested in it, but I've never taken the time to actually look and pay attention to where Israel was. I did look and see where Afghanistan was and Iran and Iraq because my son served in the military over there. So I did know kind of a little bit about where they were. But until Hamas invaded Israel and had the massacre here a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I never really paid attention to it. So I wanted to look at it, and I thought I would share that with y'all this morning. I just thought it would be good for us to realize just exactly how formidable of foes Israel is facing with all those other countries around it that are against the Jews and against Israel. Last week we talked about overcoming trials and tribulations, and we know that God has a plan for us, irregardless of what it is. So in summary, to bring forth what we talked about a little bit last week on how to overcome those trials and tribulations in life, first, we should understand that all trials and tribulations are God's arrangements, and that contained within them is God's love, his will, and his requirements. Second, during trials, we should come before God, pray and seek his will, and obey his work. Third, we should have unshakable faith to stand witness for God. If we can practice those things, those three principles mentioned, when trials and tribulations befall us, I believe we will surely be able to stand witness for God and gain a lot from the trials that we go through in life. And these are just some of the trials that we face from time to time. I've got three separate passages that I want to refer to this morning. If you turn to Jeremiah 25. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And if you'll turn over a few pages over to chapter 31, we're going to look at verses 31 through 34. And it's a new covenant that was made. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I had made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And then if we'll turn over to the New Testament, we're going to look at Luke. Got it marked here somewhere. 21 verses 25 through 28. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Events are moving swiftly now more than ever in the world around us. And it's important that we remember that regardless of what takes place, God is in charge. So that's kind of the title of my lesson this morning. And it kind of follows up with what we've covered over the several Sundays that I've been allowed to bring a class here over this last year. Earlier this year, we talked about the church and the importance in our life. And we talked about our importance of relationship with God, our importance of a relationship with our preacher. And now we see events taking place across the world. A lot of things going on, and all it takes is one idiot out there to push the button and they can wipe out the human race. Right? But we have to remember that regardless of what's going on in the world around us and what's taking place, God is in charge. He has a plan. They're moving swiftly more now than ever, and it's moving quicker toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he'll soon be here on earth as the King of Kings. We can rejoice. Yep, we can rejoice. We should all know it will definitely grow darker before the dawn. When we understand God's purpose in dealing with the nations of the world, we will not become anxious or discouraged. Even though there may be some sadness and despair all around us, all describing the terrible wars that have taken place, that's going on, the famine, the pestilence, the earthquakes that will strike our end time generations. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws near. So there is a great hope. We won't have to suffer this forever and ever. God will deliver us. Our eyes should look up to God and to the living Jesus Christ at his right hand, understanding how and why they are planning and orchestrating the world events to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. As Christians, we should continually to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We find that in 2 Peter 3:18. And in Philippians 2:5, as we grow, we should gain more and more of the mind of Christ. We should increasingly be able to see these things from the point of view of our Savior, who sits at the right hand of the Father. Mankind now possesses weapons of mass destruction that could erase the human life form on this entire planet. Apart from God, these weapons would be used. So all of us should cry out to our God, like King David of Israel, found in Psalms 9, 19 through 20. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. In fact, the proper fear of God, the profound awe, respect, and worship of the great being who created and now rules the heaven and earth, is a great source of wisdom, faith, and courage. And as we're told in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And in Psalm 9:9 through 10, David was inspired to write, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." If we truly know God, his enormous love, wisdom, power, and mercy, we'll have a peace of mind that is incomprehensible to carnal people of the world. Even as a prisoner in chains, constantly in danger of being bitten or executed, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." We find that in Philippians 4:4 through 7. Rejoice, even when things are going south around us, even when things are not going the way that we think they should, even while in chains and guarded by a Roman soldier. Yes, because God was absolutely real to the Apostle Paul. As Jesus did in human flesh, and as all of God's faithful servants have done through the ages, Paul prayed to God morning and night. He studied or meditated continually on God's will and his word. He communed with God. He walked and talked with God and made God the very center of his very being. Therefore, with each passing year, Paul learned more and more how to look at things from God's point of view, not from man's or his, but from God's point of view. And that's our challenge today with all the things going on around us. We have to remember God has a plan and God is in control. We may not understand it in this lifetime, but when God calls us home, we will understand what's going on. And through it, we just have to have faith in God that he's in control and he will take care of us. Paul learned to see God's wisdom and his purpose in allowing and sometimes even orchestrating the events here on earth so that his overall plan for mankind would be worked out. As we read in the text earlier, remember when King Nebuchadnezzar invaded and conquered Judah, it was not an accident. Time and chance was not involved. God had repeatedly warned the people of Judah to repent and return to God, but they would not. So God used King Nebuchadnezzar as a tool in his hands to invade and conquer Judah, to be God's instrument in chastening and humbling Judah to bring about real repentance. Notice carefully the message God sent to Judah through the prophet Jeremiah. Find that in Jeremiah 25:8-9. Again, "Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual dissolutions." So when we see things, the foreign enemy beginning to invade and conquer America, Canada, Britain, and what we see now going on over in Israel, we should not be horrified, confused, or disheartened. Those of us who have read through and understand some of the prophecies in the Bible undoubtedly realize that by now The great will of God will soon intervene and powerfully chasten his people unless we deeply repent and turn to the true ways of God. Yet during the greatest of trials and tests, God's true children will understand that God is love. We find that in 1 John 4:16. They will realize that God brings trials and tests for us for our good. Fervently studying God's word and drinking in more and more of the mind of God, God's people will realize in the years just ahead that God is intervening to bring this corrective punishment on his people because of his great love. How many of us that have kids or loved ones has ever broken out the belt or a paddle or a switch to discipline our kids? Now, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about sparing the rod and spoiling the child. How many of us have disciplined our kids? Did we do it out of hatred or did we do it out of love? What were we trying to do? Was trying to get them to go in the right direction, right? Trying to get them to do the right things. Is that not what God wants to do? We have to understand that when we go through these trials and these tribulations, God has a plan. You know, we may take it personally that it's directed at us, but God has a plan for everything. We may just be caught up in it because he's punishing these people, and because of our relationship or association, we're caught up in it. But through it all, what I'm trying to get at is, regardless of what's happening around us, God has a plan, and he is in charge. And we have to remember that and continue to have faith that regardless of what's going around, he is in charge. Again, God's going to bring those trials and tests on us for our good. God is intervening to bring in this corrective punishment on his people because of his great love, and in order to teach them lessons for all eternity that they are unwilling to learn any other way. And I would like to think that when we discipline our kids, the first thing we did is scream and holler at them. I did. Yeah, if just talking to them didn't work, I screamed and hollered at them. And if that didn't work, then we resorted to corporal punishment. Why? Because that was the last resort. That's the only way we could get them to come back in line. Sometimes we won, sometimes we failed. But nonetheless, did we do what we were supposed to do? And whatever we did we do it out of anger or did we do it out of love? Only we can answer. Us and God can answer how we handled that situation. True Christians will understand the great God who says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Find that in Malachi 3:6, in which he's dealing with Israel, just as he did in sending ancient Judah into Babylonian captivity. Remember what God said to those Jewish captives. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." We find that in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 12. As the storm clouds gather and the darkness falls over his people, we should remember, as Jeremiah said to Judah, that God wants to give us a future and hope. We should know that when God's people finally return to God with all their hearts, he will bring them back from captivity and bless his people more than they've ever been blessed before. God tells us, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. At that time, there will be no more false ministers teaching that God's holy law is nailed to the cross or done away with. All human beings will eventually learn to live by all the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Then there will be a genuine peace and overflowing joy over the entire earth. As David was inspired to tell us, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." We find that in Psalms 103:11-14. When we come to surrender this great God, our Father, when we come to genuinely know him through Jesus Christ living within us, then we'll fully understand that the absolute source of all love and goodness is truly in charge. Finally, as we grow in this understanding, truly the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll find that in Philippians 4:7. So can you and I be prepared from the coming horrors of the great tribulation and the day of the Lord? To me, the encouraging answer is an emphatic yes. Consider again the example of Joseph. As a young man, he showed his unusual ability and drive to succeed. This can be seen in his service to Potiphar and his work for the prison keeper, found in Genesis chapters 39, 5, and 21-23. It's all referenced through there, the life of Joseph. Even before Joseph sojourned into Egypt, God gave him dreams foretelling his eventual leadership role over his brothers. We find that in Genesis 37:5-11. Yet Joseph had much to learn before he was ready to take the reins of power. God had to test him and teach him. He allowed Joseph to be humbled, his pride and his vanity crushed. And with each day that went by, as Joseph faithfully obeyed God, he learned to trust patiently in God and his will. And he became a man of God that God could use in the highest levels of government in the greatest nation of that day. The urgent call for us today is clear. If we love our Savior Jesus Christ, we must strive to obey him and his laws. And a reference for that would be in John 14:15. We must look to him rather than our own ingenuity and strength for our blessings. Reference you to Deuteronomy 8:18. We must really put God's will first without conditions, as Jesus himself did. Are we really willing to be humbled like Joseph was? Are we willing to be imprisoned? Are we willing to be big? Are we willing to sacrifice our life for God when God sacrificed his life for us? Are we willing to be humble? Nobody likes to be criticized, right? Anybody in here like to be criticized? I don't. But sometimes somebody's got to pull the reins back on me, because I work for about 24 different companies across the United States, and one of the higher-ups, VPs of the corporation, says, I'm like a bull in a china shop, because I'm a very results-driven type individual. I like to see results. And when somebody's not able to show me results, I get upset and I get impatient. So sometimes they gotta yank the reins, and sometimes they gotta yank them a little bit harder to humble me, to remember not everybody's results driven. And just because I have a time schedule does not necessarily mean your time schedule is going to fit mine. So what I'm getting at is I have a plan for a course of action, and God has a plan for a course of action. And we got to be patient, no matter what's going on around us and through it all. God is in charge, and we have to keep that in the front and rear, all the way through our mind. We have to stay focused on that, because it is so easy for us to become distracted and think, why in the world would God let this happen? Why would God let an earthquake come and kill 10,000 people? Why would God let somebody come and bomb the tires in New York and killed over 3,000 people, and people are still dying as a result? Why did God allow that? I don't have the answer for it, but I do have to have faith. And remember, God has a plan. And we just have to have faith and patience and trust that God is in charge of everything that's going on around us today. The Apostle John wrote, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We find that in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9. Now is the time for those of us with ears to hear and to repent. For even in these last days, God promises help and deliverance to those who wholeheartedly seek and believe him. The American era, it'll soon be gone. And the Bible tells us that. It doesn't specify America by name. But the world as we know it is eventually going to go away. And the Bible foretells us that. In many ways, some of those events are already going on. So we need to be cautious to remember that even if the U.S. does fall, even if it takes us by surprise, it shouldn't, because God's in charge. Jesus Christ gave encouraging instructions about how we can face the coming tumultuous times through courage and faith. We find that again in Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So in closing, I encourage all of us to make sure that we ourselves and all of our loved ones learn the lessons of Jacob and that we're ready for the world after the decline and fall, whatever God's plans may be. I'm not a doom and gloom type person. Yeah, I'm ready for the Lord to come back today. Are there a lot of things that I've left undone? Absolutely, I think all of us can say that. But the bottom line is, I'm ready. Are you? Are our kids? Are our grandkids? Are our great-grandkids? Whatever the relations may be, are they ready? Have we shared that message with them? Have we taught our children how to teach their children? And their children how to teach their children? Have we failed? That's a challenge that we face every day. Because we don't know the hour. We don't know the day. And I hear a lot of people, man, we're in the last days. Jesus is coming this day, you know, whatever the case. We got to remember, Jesus said, nobody knows the hour or the day. But through it all, what do we got to do? Look up and trust God. He's got a plan. Because no matter what's going on in this world, God is in control. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity and privilege to be in your house again today, Lord. Lord, we know there's a lot of things going on around us that we don't necessarily agree with and that we know is not right, Lord, but we know that regardless of what's going on, you have a plan and you're in charge of everything, Lord, and we just pray that you give us strength and courage to trust in you that no matter what happens, Lord, you are in control. Be with us as we go through the services today. Open our hearts and our minds that we can receive your word, Lord, as you deem fit, Lord. We ask these things in our blessed name. Amen.